You had an opportunity to come be with us again today, and that you took that opportunity. Looking forward to worshiping with you and seeing what God has for us today as we do that. So let's do this. We start every week by saying hello to one another, people around us. Stand up with me and say hi to someone, please. Anybody ever felt weak at any particular time in your life? Some of us do, maybe even right now. There is a verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 that Paul wrote that addresses this topic that we're going to be looking at today. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul writes this: "Also, the Spirit helps us." Why? "Because we are very weak. But the Spirit helps us with our weakness. We don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself speaks to God for us. He begs God for us, speaking to Him with feelings too deep for words. We are weak, but thank God, God has given us His Spirit to work through us in our weakness, to make us strong, and to lead us to do what He wants Him to do in the midst of our weakness." Would you pray with me? God, we thank You that You are God and we're not. We're Your creation. You've blessed us in many ways. You've given us gifts and talents and abilities. But in the midst of all of that, Father, we are still, as Paul said, weak. So for that reason and many others, we turn to You, Father, and say, God, use us, bless us in the midst of our weaknesses, that we can still love You and serve You and tell others about You. Bless our time of worship, Lord. May it be a time in our hearts and minds that honor You, and for us to be able to tell You once again, we love You and thank You for Your love for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friendly reminder to us all, right? I think I said something last week. John and Jason had gotten with me and said that they're going to give a dollar out for every card you send or give away. My wife says you guys owe her about like 40 bucks right now. So you can give that to me and I'll pass it on to her, all right? This is only one way you can do it. Just use these cards. They're very simple to hand out. Just say, hey, love for you to come. Whether it's somebody you know well or somebody you don't know well, just do that. It's not going to harm anyone and probably will have some good results as a result of it, okay? So be praying about that and be asking and inviting people to our Easter service, which is coming up very, very soon. Anyone heard of Sir Isaac Newton? Maybe studied him in science class or something like that. Sir Isaac Newton is well known for his scientific genius. He invented calculus, something I never could understand. He explained gravity. He developed the three major laws of motion, and he built the reflecting telescope. Did you know that Mr. Newton suffered from severe mental illness? He was schizophrenic, he suffered from bipolar, and he hallucinated. And yet we all benefit from his contributions, broken mind and all. And like Mr. Newton, all of us have weaknesses. We all struggle, we're all broken, and yet God gives everyone equal intrinsic value, equal intrinsic worth to all of us. And God desires to use us to participate with Him in the work of reconciling other people to Himself, being a blessing to others around us. Even though we're weak, even though we have weaknesses, this is God's desire. Remember, folks, even broken crayons still color. Don't think for a minute, I can't because. The fact is, you can because. I'm starting a new two-week series called Embracing Your Weaknesses. Take your outlines out if you will. This is Embracing Your Weaknesses Part 1. Now, I've got to give you a little heads up. If you look at your outline there, in about 30 minutes from now, you're going to wonder what's happening because I normally preach about 30 minutes. Rarely do I ever go over. John Peters does, but I do not. So in about 30 minutes, you're going to see I'm only on part 2, number 4. Don't panic. You have the outline for this week and next week. All right? So when you get down here and you think, I'm done. I promise you I'll be done. You don't have to worry about that. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. Paul said this, but his answer was, talking about God, talking to him, Paul, his answer was, my grace is all you need. For my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. All of us have weaknesses. We have physical weaknesses, emotional, relational, financial weaknesses, intellectual. Some of us have fashion weaknesses. All of us have weaknesses. The real issue is, what are you going to do with those weaknesses? What we normally do is we deny them, we defend them, we excuse them, we resent them, and most of all, we try to hide them. We don't want anybody to see our weaknesses. But God says something very different than that about our weaknesses. God says, I want to use your weaknesses. For some, that doesn't make sense. We say, God, use my strengths, not my weaknesses. And God says, I'll use your strengths, but I can use your weaknesses even more. God doesn't want to work around our weaknesses or in spite of our weaknesses. He wants to work through our weaknesses. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to put wise men to shame, and what the world considers weak in order to put powerful men to shame. Underline that phrase up there, God purposely chose. And underline the word weak. He purposely chose to use weaknesses. It's not an accident. The weaknesses that you have in your life, God purposely chose them and wants to work through them to carry out God's work. Why? Because when God works through our weaknesses, it demonstrates His power, not ours. Remember the character in the Old Testament, fellow by the name of Samson? Usually when you think of Samson, you picture this Rambo type of person with bulging muscles and a bad attitude. But the Bible tells us that Samson was just a regular guy. In fact, the Bible says that when the enemy looked at him, they couldn't figure out why Samson was so strong. He just didn't appear that way at all. Because through all appearance, he didn't look strong. The Bible says he didn't get his strength through his muscle. He got his strength, the Bible says, through the Spirit and the power of God. Samson looked more like Barney Fife than Schwarzenegger. And yet God worked through him. Folks, God is not impressed with our might. In America, we are really impressed with strength and might, but God isn't. God has chosen the weak, the ordinary people with weaknesses to do the things that He wants us to do with Him and for Him, for His kingdom. What we need to learn is that God wants to use our weaknesses, and therefore, how does He do that? How does He work through our weaknesses? Now let me give you a definition of weakness, the way the Bible uses it here. By weakness, I'm not talking about sins. I'm not talking about character flaws. I'm not talking about things you can change, like overeating or bad tempers or anything like that. I'm not talking about that as a weakness. Let me give you the definition of weakness here. The definition of weakness is any limitation that I inherited or cannot change. Any limitation that I inherited or cannot change. It could include circumstantial limitations you were born with that you can't change. Maybe it's financial limitations. when you just don't have enough money and nothing seems to be working out. You're working, you're not overspending, but it's just there. Maybe it's a relational limitation. Maybe you have a rebellious family member, handicapped person, emotional limitations. Some folks have a tendency, a predisposition to become depressed or manic, and it's out of your control. No matter who you see, how many medicines you take, how much therapy you get, it doesn't go away. What are your limitations? God chooses these things that are out of our control, our limitations, and he says, I'm going to work through you, through your weaknesses, to make differences in people's lives. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure from God, but we are like clay jars that hold the treasure. This shows us that the great power is from God and not from us. God says, I put my treasure of wisdom and power in you in a clay pot. Clay pot is very weak. A clay pot, you don't even have to drop it for it to break. It's very fragile. And that's how we are as human beings. And God says, hey, I'm going to put my work, my spirit in you, a clay pot. And I'm going to work through you. Because when that happens, people are going to look at you and realize there's no way that came from you. It had to come from him. God puts his greatest gifts in ordinary containers like you and like me. Don't you ever think, if you are a child of God, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, don't you ever think that God can't use me. That is a lie from Satan. Don't you ever think God won't use me. Yes, he will. Yes, he can, in ways that you can't even imagine. So how do we use our weaknesses? Let me give you some ideas. Three steps. How to use your weaknesses. Number one, first of all, you have to admit your weaknesses. We have a tendency to want to cover up. We see a flaw in us, we see a weakness, and we just want to cover over. We don't want people to see that. We don't want people to know that. If God's going to work through you, use your weaknesses to do great work for him, you need to stop pretending that you have it all together. No one has it all together. It means I stop hoping that my weaknesses will just go away if I ignore them long enough. It means I stop making excuses for my weaknesses. It means I stop blaming other people for my weaknesses. I just admit it. I'm weak. I have weaknesses. I don't have it all together. The good news is, neither does anyone else. Since the first step in learning how to use your weaknesses is admitting that you have them, sometimes God has to bring something into our lives that makes us acknowledge that we have weaknesses. What God brings in sometimes is labeled a crisis. Any of you familiar with the word crisis? A crisis is a weakness identifier. When you go through a crisis, it brings attention to the faults and limitations and weaknesses that are in your life. And that's a good thing. But you don't have to wait for a crisis to identify your weaknesses. It's far less painful to try to identify them now than wait for a crisis to happen. Secondly, another thing we need to do is we need to be grateful for our weaknesses. Be grateful for them. It sounds odd, especially when some folks come to church hoping that it'll be a place that they can get free from all their weaknesses. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, I have cheerfully made up my mind to be proud of my weaknesses because they mean a deeper experience of the power of Christ. Paul said, man, I want to kind of be proud of the weaknesses. I want to acknowledge them. I want to let God know I know they're here because then I can get deeper in power with Christ. And so instead of posturing yourself all the time like you have it all together, I'm self-confident. I'm composed. Most of all, I want people to see how I have it all together. The fact is, everybody sees that you don't have it all together. None of us do. And so we need to say, you know what, God, I'm grateful for my weaknesses. When we do it, Paul says it gives you a deeper experience of the power of Christ. One reason many Christians never experience a deeper level of the power of Christ is because they haven't admitted their weaknesses. It's that simple. And they haven't given thanks for them. Why? Why would anyone want to give thanks for their weaknesses? What we don't realize is that those weaknesses and limitations that we're prone to, and we complain about them, we fuss about them, they're really blessings in disguise. They're blessings in disguise. Let me give you four benefits of weaknesses that God gives to us. One of the first benefits is this. Number one, it guarantees God's help. When I have weaknesses in my life, it guarantees that God is for me. He's going to help me. We try to solve our problems by ourselves and our own strength and our own wisdom. God steps back and says, have at it. I want to watch this show. You think you can repair that relationship? You think you can come up with the answer to that problem? You think you can get your business all back together? Fine, let me see you. Go ahead, try. But the moment we come to God and we say, God, I am weak. I don't have what it takes to handle the pressures and the problems in my life anymore. God, I'm needy. I need your help with this. And God knows that. He just wants us to know it. He just wants us to realize it. And when that happens, God plugs you into power and into a deeper level of power of Christ in your life and your relationship with God that you could never have had on your own. A power not just to help you survive, but to thrive in life. And this comes when we become grateful for our weaknesses. Look what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 12:9 and then verse 10. God is speaking in the first part of this verse, and God says, I am with you, and that's all you need. Now, we could just stop here and go home. We could just stop right here and call it a day. Because this verse sums it up. God is with you, that's all you need. God says, no matter what you're going through this next week, what's going to be coming your way, I'm going to be with you, and that's all you need. The kicker is you don't usually know that God is all you need until God sometimes is all you've got. That's why sometimes God lets our lives fall apart when we're in control, and it just begins to fall apart, and things come off, and wheels go. And then God says, okay, are you ready now? I'm here for you. God lets all those props, all those gimmicks, all those things that we think prop us up and keep us safe. And God says, go ahead, run through them. And then you'll learn that I'm the one you really need. Paul said, God says, I am with you. That's all you need. And then he said, my power shows up best where? In weak people. And Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The less I have, the more I depend on him. This is one of those lessons that we as believers need to learn over and over and over and over again. God takes care of us and uses us and bails us out one day, and the next day we're trying to do it all ourselves all over, and God says, you hadn't learned yet, have you? Let's go through this again. Gives us another trial. Then we start falling apart. And okay, get all right. Over and over and over, we need to learn this. When we're weak, then I'm strong in him. Instead of giving thanks for our weaknesses, for the limitations we have, that we've inherited, that are out of our control, we say, why me? We ask God to take them away. Paul says God's power shows up best when we're weak. And if that's true, then why would you ask God to take away your weaknesses? If you could live by the power of God in your life and you could thrive in the power of God, why would you say, God, take these weaknesses away? Give thanks for your weaknesses. It guarantees God's help. And secondly, it prevents arrogance. It prevents arrogance. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12, excuse me, verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh. Now, what is Paul talking about here? What is this thorn in his flesh? Paul said he had a thorn in his flesh to keep him from getting arrogant, from becoming too proud. And Paul said God had given him this great revelation. Paul was in a great spiritual experience on some type of mountaintop with God, and God was giving him all these types of revelations, and it was a wonderful time. And in the midst of all of that, God decided to give Paul a thorn. Now, what's a thorn in this context? It was a weakness. It was a limitation that Paul didn't inherit and that he couldn't change. We have thorns in our lives, things that we can't change, things that just came into our lives. And so Paul asked God, God, take it away. You ever had a thorn in your foot? Hand, side, you ever get a thorn? What are those little things that we have around here in the sand? What are they? Yeah, man, those things are of the devil. I'm telling you right now. They are just painful. And then you go to get them out and it gets stuck in your finger. It's terrible. Paul had one of those. He had a thorn in the flesh. And Paul came to God three times, God, please, take this away. Paul's a smart man. This is not his first rodeo. He knows he's been a Christian for a while. God's been working through him, blessing him, using him to bless others, literally to win people and in literally parts of the Asian area to Christ. And he gets a thorn. He says, God, take it away. Take it away. God said, no. I guess God didn't hear me. Let's go for round two. God, it's still there. Take it away. God said no. Paul said, please, God, take this away. Paul tried to change his circumstance. God said three times no. Why? Because God's grace would be sufficient for Paul. And that thing in your life and in my life that we've been praying that God would take away from us, that may be your thorn. God says, no, I'm going to leave it there so you'll remember to depend upon me and my strength. Now, sometimes thorns are temporary. Sometimes they're removed gradually. Sometimes they stay there for a lifetime. If you really want God to use you in a great way, expect a thorn in your life. It will help you from becoming arrogant, thinking you can do it all for God. Give thanks for your weaknesses. It guarantees God's help. It prevents arrogance. And number three, you give thanks for your thorns because they cause you to value others. They cause you to value others. One of the dangers of strength is that it breeds an independent spirit. And if I don't have any of my weaknesses in life, that I tend to think no one else, you know, can live up to my standards. You may think you need to be in a small group Bible study, but I don't need to. They need it, but I don't. I know people need close relationships, but I can live my Christian life on my own. I don't need those close relationships. But God has put us in a situation when we become believers, to put us aside other believers for close relationships so we can help and love and hold each other accountable. No one person in the Christian family gets all the gifts. Nobody gets all the pieces of the puzzle. We need one another to complete the work that God has called us to do. Now, in our society, the big shots get most of the attention, and therefore people think they're the most significant, but that's not true. Prominence does not equal significance. Many celebrities are prominent, but many of them have very insignificant lives, just my opinion. On my face, like on yours, we have a nose and ears, and some of ours are more prominent than others. But that doesn't mean they're any more significant. I could live without an ear, but I couldn't live without my heart or my liver or my kidney. We don't see them very significant. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12:22. Some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. This is true in the body of Christ. God lets everyone in his body have weaknesses so we would recognize our need for each other. Our weaknesses, therefore, help us value other people. And then number four, we give thanks to God for the weaknesses because weaknesses give us a ministry. They give us a ministry. God didn't put you here just to live for yourself, but to live for Him and for other people. And your greatest ministries can grow out of your greatest weaknesses. Your greatest life message that you can share with others about God is going to come out of a painful experience. God uses those painful experiences in our lives to minister to others, to help others, to encourage others. Because pain sensitizes us to the hurt of others. And God uses the pain that we experience to bring healing to others around us. Jesus himself was wounded. Why? So we could be healed. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received. To receive God's comfort, you first have to experience pain. Then when God comforts you, he does so intending for you to go be a comfort to someone else. Who can better help someone who's gone through a divorce than someone who's been through it? Who could help someone else better when somebody becomes unemployed, when somebody has been there themselves? Who could help someone else better with an addiction than somebody else who was once addicted and they could understand? Who could better help someone with Down syndrome than someone who has a child with Down syndrome? Who could better comfort someone when a teen child has gone off the deep end than someone who's been that there before? He uses these things in our lives to help other people. Listen, folks, God never wastes a hurt. Never. Some of you know part of my testimony. It goes back a long time. I grew up in a broken home and wasn't a good situation for me and my brother. He was 2 years older than me. We became best friends. And we helped others through a very difficult situation. It was hard, to say the least. It was hard. We became best friends. We stayed best friends all our lives. We grew older. And in our early 30s, my brother was in a car accident, and he was killed. It was devastating to me because he was the most important person in my life. And it was hard. And I went into a very, very deep depression. Most of us would. And I figured somewhere around year one it would end, and it didn't. And around year and a half, 1.5, 2 years didn't end. I finally had to go get some help. I couldn't get out, couldn't just pull myself up out of my bootstraps. And so got some interventions. And I thought, you know, they're going to give me the intervention that works for the rest of my life. And do you know what? They did not. To this day, I struggle with emotional issues about that. And I'd rather be rid of it. I really would. It's no fun when you get down to that level that's really bad, really low. I'd really rather just say, that's enough. But God used that weakness to help hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Because I get a pulpit, I get to talk, I get to share, and then people call me or they'll write me, and I'll be able to help them through their times of struggling as well. Does that make sense? Now, I would never have asked for the weakness God gave me. Never. Never would I have asked for it. But that's what God does. He uses that kind of stuff to grow us, bless us, and then to become a blessing to other people. I don't know what your weakness is. I don't know what your thorn in the flesh is, but you have one. We all do. Everyone has a limitation that was inherited that we cannot change. And our choice is either to resist it, to fight against it, to have a pity party over it. Or you can say, God, I have this, and I want to thank you that you can use this in my life to bless other people. The choice is yours. Don't waste your hurts. And one way we can manage life in the midst of our limitations, of our weaknesses, is because of God's strength, not ours, but because of God's. I've asked Jason to come on up this morning and to share a song with you that he and I actually both love. The song is simple, and it basically tells us that His strength is perfect. It's good to know in the midst of weaknesses that God's grace is perfect. He is our strength. Would you pray with me, please? God, we want to thank you that your strength is perfect. Thank you that when our strength is gone, you carry us when we can't carry on. Thank you, Lord, that we are raised in your power, and when that happens, we, the weak, become strong. Your strength, God, is perfect. Your strength, God, is perfect. May we realize that, Father, moment by moment of every day when we're struggling with weaknesses, to know that's okay because you are there with us. So, Lord, help us to process what we've learned today, how you work those things out in our lives, figure out what weaknesses we have to turn them over to you and to allow you, God, to work through us in our weaknesses to bless others. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. And also, Jason, love the guitar and the singing. Great job. Yeah. Couple announcements here. Now, of course, our big, big thing coming up, it's like an avalanche of information about Easter. So just a few weeks away. As a matter of fact, we have folks, I think, Alan, Susan, Harley, and Hampton, they're going to come down the aisles with cards and hand those out. So get ready. Here they come. And they're going to give you those cards. Give Kevin about 10 extra, so he's afraid to hand them out, so give him a couple. I know last week I got word that there were folks right here from Grace Point within maybe a half an hour after church already over at Goodwill passing them out. So thank you for doing that. We want to remind you, if you're a regular attender on Easter, we'll go ahead and start saying these things. Sit down the front. Park a little further away as you leave the spaces for the guests. And a lot of just ways you can invite people to come out for Easter. All right. Alan, did you get Kevin? Yeah, all right. You got Kevin over there? Got it. And also, good news from our Grace Point, our Growing Grace. The amount now is up over 206, maybe 207,000 that's been given. Thank you for giving. The renovations are going on over in the Fellowship Hall area. Other things are going to be happening. You see it. The painting on this building is happening outside as we speak. And I guess they're not doing it today, but yeah,
like right now.
As we're thinking about this. So anyway, thank you guys so much for being here. And we're going to have a prayer, one more song. And this is the song you want to sing really loud as you go, because this is the song you remember all week long.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way it happens? All right. So let's pray and then we'll go. Lord, thank you for this great time together. Thank you for the challenge to think about how you are perfect when we are weak. And your strength will lift us up when our strength is gone. Lord, today as we go from this place, help us to take joy and love, peace, patience, all of that, the fruit of the Spirit with us, to invite people to come back and join us for the greatest message ever. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what it's all about, and it's all about you. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I just demonstrated one of my weaknesses. I get so excited, I do things out of order. We normally do a prayer right now, don't we? I guess we can pray again. You guys are ready to, hey, that was wild, John. Thank you for that. So we're going to do a short prayer now. And same thing, take the excitement with you. There it is. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this challenge again, as our weaknesses can be used for your strength. We love you. We thank you now. And pray it in Jesus' name. And again, everybody said, amen. Amen.